before I get started tonight, I do want to just take just 1 second to tell each and every one of you how much my wife and I and my family appreciate every one of you in this church. And y'all got awesome pastors, your new pastors, awesome. I'm so thankful for what God's doing here and what he's going to continue to do right here in this church. Amen. Y'all talk your church up to somebody this week.
Yeah.
And invite somebody.
Yes,
come, come home. Yeah. See what God's doing right here at Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And I'm going to read the KJV first, and then I'm going to read the NLT. KJV says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The NLT says, "I discipline my body as an athlete, training it to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Would you pray with me today? Father God, we just come to you, Lord, and we're so thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful to be able to gather together in your house, Lord, that you would be glorified by everything that's said and done in this place tonight.
Thank you.
And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint my mind and my tongue, that you would have liberty through me to speak to your people, God, the word that you have laid upon my heart. And God, I pray that you would just prepare their hearts and their ears today to listen and hear from you. God, not anything of me, but everything of you, that you would be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Some of you may or may not know that this man standing before you today is literally half the man that I used to be. This message was brewing in my spirit, and the Lord brought me back to a time whenever I was much younger and much slimmer. Amen. When I left school, I was about 185 pounds and went into construction at an early age and began to gain muscle through this job, pulling wire and different things. And I went on to get a job measuring houses where I was driving around in my truck every day doing really just paperwork. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And I would stop at the store and I'd get me a Dr. Pepper and I'd get me a Snicker bar. And the next thing you know, 185 turned into 225 and 225 turned into 285. And 285 eventually ended up at 307 at my heaviest weight. When I started working for Georgia Pacific Plywood Mill in 2002, I lost 60 pounds my first summer just from sweat.
Yeah.
I had to take change of clothes to work and change at lunchtime, and I would drink 3 gallons of water a day. And I lost those 60 pounds pretty quick, and I thought, you know, I might have a chance at this. Mm-hmm. And I started to work out. I started to exercise. I would ride my bike from our house all the way to the wellness center there in Crossett. 2.5 miles. I'd work out an hour and I would ride my bike back home. And eventually I had a chance to go to a place in San Antonio, Texas, or right outside of San Antonio, called Intense Men. My dad was fellowshipping with a church down there and they went to this Intense Men, and it was basically a competition. And I thought, man, this is my opportunity, right? I've been working out, and me and a friend of mine from work were vigorously working out and dropped down to 178 pounds and was benching 305. And my wife told me at that point in time, she said, if you don't gain some weight, I might have to do something else. She said, I don't like this. I didn't marry such a skinny guy, and I don't want this. You ask tonight, are you just here to talk about yourself this evening? No, I'm here to talk about a spiritual issue that I believe is going on in churches all across America today.
Come on, Brother Jeremy.
We need to realize that if we're going to talk with people about Jesus, then we have to be prepared about giving answers for what we believe.
Yes,
we have to be prepared to exercise our faith in a way that we've never exercised it before, because we're moving into days where things are going to begin to get harder and harder than they've ever been. And it's going to be harder to reach people for Christ just because of all the unbelief and all of the things floating around out there that will sway the minds of your friends and family.
Yeah.
going to be successful unless we vigorously prepare for action. Amen?
Amen.
If we're going to be prepared to win, we need to be using spiritual discipline and discernment like never before. In our opening text, we see Paul, who was once blind to the scriptures and the things of God, now free and desiring to be more like Christ than anything. And he said, I discipline my body as an athlete so that I am not disqualified in what I speak. If you read verses 24 through 27 there, he says, do you not know that we all run a race? We run a race that all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Right.
Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly, and I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, basically shadow boxing. No, I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You see, with strict self-control over diet, exercise, sleep, and other behaviors, Paul is talking about discipline here.
Right.
That's a word we don't like anymore, is it not?
Right.
Discipline is a dirty word in most people's minds. When you talk about it, they don't want to hear it. But the word here is, I don't know these Greek words very well, but it's hypopaisio, which literally refers to beating something black and blue. Anybody ever been beat that way before when you was a kid? Lord have mercy. These kids don't know nowadays, do they? But Paul said he beats up his body like a boxer to toughen himself up for the sake of his spiritual stamina. Come on. He's talking in the physical realm about something he's doing both physically and spiritually. And Paul remains in this state of continual training because he said he doesn't want to preach to someone and then look at him and say, who do you think you are? Right. You can't preach to me because you yourself are not qualified. You see, he's not talking about losing his salvation as a result of sin, but Paul's teaching is clear that salvation is a gift and not something that comes from strenuous effort, but he's also clear that we have to run for the prize that is set before us in such a way that we are constantly striving and striving so that we are not disqualified when we preach.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When you talk about diet and exercise, food is a big part of that. It's a huge part of that. Food is vital for sustaining life. Amen?
Yeah.
Without proper nourishment, the human body becomes weak, and it cannot function properly. Anybody ever went a few days without eating something, and you begin to get shaky, and sometimes you say, man, I just got to get something in me.
Yeah.
People take care of their bodies through eating right and consuming key nutrients, so that they not only live, but thrive in healthiness.
Right.
The same principles apply to our spiritual life today.
Yes, sir.
A proper diet of spiritual food is needed so that Christians do not become weak and weary. Uh-huh. But rather they thrive spiritually in their relationship with God. Regular nourishment for the soul is vital to the Christian life, just like physical food is vital to your physical body.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus emphasized this importance of spiritual food many times. When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
You see, spiritual food is every word that's in this Bible that's in your lap today.
Yes, amen.
Spiritual food is the thing that imparts life, giving substance to your spiritual man. I know that this seems elementary tonight, and many of you know this. It's been preached and taught right here in this pulpit. John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The Bible often speaks of spiritual food as a need. God's word provides milk in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. We're not meant to stay babies forever.
No.
We have to begin to move from there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it.
Amen.
And then bread in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, and he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Job chapter 23 and 12. Have not departed from the commandments of his lips, and have treasured the words of his mouth more than his portion of food. Mm-hmm. Psalms chapter 119, verses 103. It's sweeter than honey. How sweet are your words to my taste.
Yes.
The prophet Jeremiah wrote, when your words came, I ate them. And they were my joy and my heart's delight.
Yes.
For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over we see this as a spiritual thing and not just a physical thing.
Right.
Whatever you walk in the physical is a picture of your spirit man and the things that you deal with on a daily basis. Uh-huh. God gave you that body so that you could see what he's trying to get you to see about your spirit man and how it needs to get nourishment and grow and exercise. Come on, somebody.
Yes, sir.
And whenever this prophet wrote this, he's telling us how wonderful these words are. And if you want joy and delight in your life, you must eat of the sweet honey of the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it doesn't stop there, right?
Right.
I think that today's message came about because back during Thanksgiving, we like to sit around and stuff our faces until we become comatose and can't move. And Thanksgiving was upon us, just like we all do. We eat and we nap and we watch football, and then we eat and then we nap and we watch football again.
Right. Come on.
Thanksgiving Day is a pretty lazy day, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But I feel like tonight the message is that we as a church body have to become spiritually, physically fit again and not spiritual obesity like we've been in.
Mm-hmm.
We constantly do this in the house of God. We come in, we realize that the spirit man needs food, and we feed.
Right.
We feed off of the message that Brother Mike and Brother Jason and Sister Melissa and everybody else that gets up here to preach, we feed and we feed. But we're lacking moves of God outside of this place in many areas of our life because we are lacking exercise of that faith.
Right.
We can eat all we want to, and we can nap all we want to, but until we get to the point where we realize that just like your physical body, if you eat too much and you nap too much, you're going to get fat.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Our churches become stagnant with growth, and they become dull and want to move less and less. Did you know that the less you move, the less you want to move?
Right.
And according to the NIH website, when you ask how does a person become obese, obesity is generally caused by eating too much and moving too little. That's the easiest definition there is.
Right.
If we consume high amounts of energy, and particularly fats and sugars, and do not burn them off, then our exercise and activity is lacking, then we will store up all of that as fat.
Yeah.
I didn't come here to hurt no feelings today. Look, I'm preaching to myself. Amen?
Yeah, Jeremy. Yes, sir. Come on, good.
We become sedentary in our walk, and we expect that God is just going to make things happen without our work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, faith without works is dead.
Right.
And if you're not willing to come into this place and eat from the table of God, and then take what you're eating, all of those calories, and take your spirit man and put it under subjection to the Holy Spirit when you leave this place,
yes, sir.
Then you're going to get fat in the spirit, and you will not succeed.
Right.
Because the less you move, the less you want to move.
Right.
It's going to get harder and harder for you to walk up to that person in Walmart and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I remember a time when I told a preacher, I said, hey, I invited somebody to church last week. He said, oh, well, that's good. And he said, what did you ask him? And I said, where do you go to church? And he said, well, you asked him the wrong question. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're supposed to ask them, do you know Jesus? You get them down on their knees and get them to Jesus, and then you get them in the church. Come on, somebody.
Come on. Yes,
you may or may not ever see that person again in your life. That's spiritual exercise.
Yes, sir.
And most of the time, statistics show that even deacons in the church haven't led anybody to Christ in the last 5 years.
Yes, sir.
Preach. Where are we at today?
Yeah.
Are we just eating and eating and eating and sitting on it?
Come on.
Or are we exercising our faith?
Yeah.
Are we doing like Paul said, disciplining our body like an athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Our spiritual body.
Come on.
Come on, folks. I'm preaching to myself here tonight.
Preach.
In the last 2 years, my pants have gotten tighter since I quit working out. And back there at Christmas, I got on the scale and it just said jolly. I didn't, like I said, I didn't come here to hurt our feelings, but I know that exercise hurts.
Yeah.
Anybody ever worked out before?
Yeah.
All the time.
You know that they always tell you never skip leg day. But we always want to skip leg day because leg day is the worst. You can go in there and you can do a leg workout. I mean, from the hips down, and the next day you're like a cripple. You're like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna make it.
Yeah.
Oh, and don't go try to sit down in the bathroom.
That's right.
It hurts.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But if we're eating God's word continually and we're not exercising the truth of this word, what are we doing as Christians?
Yeah.
Are we becoming stagnant?
Yes,
are we spiritually obese in America today?
Amen.
You see, we've become consumers now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The body of Christ was never meant to be a consumer without exercising.
Yeah.
It's no different than what we were talking about on Wednesday nights here a while back about storing up things in our house that we don't need.
Uh-huh.
We can store up all of this stuff and we'll even forget we've got it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God said, I want you to go and work out your faith.
Uh-huh.
If you are, and if I am, going to taste and see that the Lord is good, we've got to begin working out our salvation and disciplining ourselves as an athlete, lest we be disqualified.
Yes, sir.
This is not some exclusive meal where we just come in here as Christian people and sit and eat.
Yes.
Right.
Everyone's invited to the table. There's enough of this food right here to feed every person that you've ever seen, known, or heard of.
Yes, there is.
God is not lacking in any area. He said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's got enough packed into this Bible for you and I to get up and begin to do some exercise in the faith and bring people to Christ like we've never brought them to Christ before. I've got a job to do in the name of the Lord. You've got a job to do in the name of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Christ Jesus gave you a charge to go and preach the gospel until the whole world hears.
Yes.
Paul wrote that we walk by faith and not by sight. That requires living a spiritual life. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe, so I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
We also believe, so we speak.
Yes.
This is some statistics. I tried. Statistics. Hannah was being on me about that. She's like, you can't speak here lately. I said, I don't know what's going on.
That's all right,
Gary. I'm going to try to work in just for the sake of saying it. Statistics. There we go. A young man of 18 years old and 150 pounds generally burns 57 calories per hour of talking. 57 calories per hour of talking. While an older gentleman of 80 years old, the same height and weight, will only burn 43 calories for the same amount of talking. There's so much that we could take away from this. And that just tells me that in a spiritual light, that if older men are going to exercise their faith, they should talk more than the young men.
Yeah.
Because they need to burn just as many calories to keep that spiritual obesity off of them.
Right.
And the young men should talk less because they don't know as much as the old men. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give the Lord a hand clap and praise on that one, because too many times we've got young men running around here thinking that they know everything, including myself sometimes. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know it all. You don't know it all. Listen to elders when they speak to you, young folks. If there's an elder in your life, listen to them. I know that it's so easy to walk around thinking we know it, but we don't. But what am I getting at? Faith grows when you speak life and truth. And whenever we exercise our faith, we speak words of faith in the life and in the situations that we face. We can lift up the spirits of somebody who's struggling and they need an encouraging word. Also, something that you came into this house and learned when Brother Mike got up here or when Brother Jason got up here. You see, you're not learning this stuff just so you can keep it to yourself and store it up. Yes. But you're learning this stuff so that when you walk outside of those doors, what does the thing back there say as you leave? You're entering into the mission field. Never, ever forget that. I would challenge each and every one of you when you leave a sermon in this place, as you're walking out those double doors, so just take a look up every single week. And remind yourself that I didn't learn what I learned today just so I could keep it to myself.
Right. Amen.
I learned what I learned today because I am to exercise my faith and discipline my spiritual body so much so that when I speak to someone, they know that the light of truth has been shined in the darkness of their heart, and they're going to be able to receive it in such a way that you will not be disqualified. Come on.
Yes, sir. Good preaching.
We confess the word of God as guidance for the paths of our lives. You have to take a step of faith and you have to walk this thing out.
Right.
What did people generally do the first part of the year? You see it all the time. And I'm sure if you've ever been a gym owner or been around the gym, what happens the first part of the year? New year, new me.
Yeah.
And sometimes people stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, you see a radical change in their body.
Right.
When they stick with it, it's like, wow, what have you been doing? I've just been cutting back and exercising.
Mm-hmm.
But where do they start? They start on the treadmill walking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can't go very far. But what they did yesterday, when they come back in the next day, if they'll get on that treadmill and just do a little bit more. And just do a little bit more.
Yes.
The next thing you know, they're going to have that treadmill on an incline, and they'll be running and exercising in a way that they never thought that they could.
Uh-huh.
What my encouragement to you today is that as you come into this place and you learn more about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit begins to overflow in you, that you begin to walk out your faith in such a way that you eventually begin to run towards the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. You see, in this picture parallel here, we as the saints of God need the elementary things sometimes.
Uh-huh.
In Proverbs chapter 24 and 5, a wise man is full of strength, and a man full of knowledge enhances his might.
Yes, sir.
You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and when you start there, you begin a walk of faith.
Right. Yes, sir.
When you ask Jesus into your heart to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you started a walk of faith.
Yes.
It's not for you to just come in here and eat and eat and eat and nap and nap and nap and never exercise what you're learning in this place.
Yes, sir.
Keep working. Keep strengthening yourselves in the Lord. Keep encouraging somebody around you.
Uh-huh.
Even ladies, in Proverbs 31:17 says she surrounds her waist with strength and makes her arms strong.
Uh-huh.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For the physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things,
right,
holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You exercise your faith. Come on.
Yes, sir.
You're storing up many treasures when you lead people to Christ and when you gain wisdom and strength in the Word of God.
Yeah.
This falls back to those storing up.
Yeah.
Anybody planning to store something up has to have a place to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I want to put my treasures in heaven.
Amen.
But I don't want to store fat. I want to store muscle.
Yes, sir.
I want to be so strong spiritually that when I walk out of these double doors into that mission field, not only am I leading people to Christ, but they just look upon somebody that knows Jesus and is full of the Holy Ghost, and that they say that there's something different about that person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know what it is that I can do to get there, but I want to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get that in their mind, they begin to question and say, what is it that I'm doing that needs to change? Mm-hmm. And then you can go to them with the Word of God and show them. And the next thing you know, you got somebody on the treadmill beside you, and y'all are exercising together.
Yeah.
What am I saying? We should not lose heart tonight.
Amen.
But we should exercise our faith in such a way that we will not lose sight of the promise.
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. Don't lose sight of the prize. And Paul tells you to press and press and press until you make it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race and kept the faith. I don't know about anybody else in this place tonight, but there's not going to be any set of greater words than any of us could hear other than, well done, my good and faithful servant.
You got it.
You see, yes, that servant part comes into this right here. Because you cannot be a servant while you're sitting on the couch.
Right.
You cannot be a servant when you're sitting in the best places at the table. Yep. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You've got to make sure that you make up your mind right now which way you're going to go. And you follow Christ with every ounce of your being.
Amen.
So that you can continually run this race.
Yes, sir.
Anybody want to get strong with me?
That's good. Yes, sir.
I want to be strong. I want you to be strong.
Yeah.
Because get this, if we're all strong together, what spirit, what demon, what thing from hell is going to come and break our line?
Yeah.
Do y'all remember that Red Rover?
Yeah.
You hold the person's hand next to you, somebody try to run through and break the line.
Uh-huh.
A weakling can't break two strong hands.
No.
That's right.
And I don't know if you realize it tonight or not, but every spiritual battle that you face, every demon in hell, every single one of them trembled at the name of Jesus.
Yes, they have.
Every single one of them will bow their knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes,
and if you have the power and might of the Holy Ghost, if you've been working out and you have not been skipping leg day, there's not going to be anything stopping you when you go to war in the heavenlies and you begin to speak with spiritual tongues, and you begin to work in spiritual ways, your strength will come, and you will not fail.
Yeah.
Do I have anybody with me in the house?
Amen. Yes, sir. Good preaching.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
If y'all just stand with me all over the building. Brother Chris, if you want to come, you can. If you don't, that's fine too. Amen. What I want to know tonight from every person sitting under the sound of my voice is, have you gotten lax in your spiritual walk?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes.
Good.
Have you ate three meals a day? And fed and fed and fed off of the Word of God in this place and not exercise your faith? Is there anybody in the house, or just me? Did the Lord just give this word just to me? Because sometimes He'll do that. Amen?
Come on. It's for all of us.
If you want to work out spiritually, if you want to be strong spiritually, you know where you do that?
These
right here.
Right. Yeah.
This is the place. Y'all, there's somebody sitting beside you today that is strong spiritually, and you may not be. You might have been facing some stuff right here recently that has been too much for you.
Yeah.
But you know, when you got somebody strong, somebody that's working in the things of the Lord and in the Spirit of God, they can walk by and they can say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. Just let me grab you by the arm right here. Come on and work out with me today.
Yeah.
Do I have anybody in the house that wants to work out?
Yes, sir.